Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And also, we'd like to remind you always that there is a Zoom fellowship following this. And if you have not ever been to one, it's where you get a chance to see the Unity family, have discussion about the talk, listen to music. There's a lot of things we do in there that you might find very enjoyable. So we look forward to seeing you there. And also, if you find this service to be, you know, enlightening and inspiring, please consider donating to Unity Center of Light. We appreciate all of your donations. And if you want to know how to do so, just click on that Show More button right below if you're watching this on YouTube. And you can see all the ways you can donate to Unity Center of Light. And again, we thank you for your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, August the 28th. The key word is purpose, and the affirmation is, I pursue my purpose with passion. Over the course of my life, I have discovered what has kindled my passions, captivated my attention, and made me feel most alive. My passions lead me to discover my purpose to which I choose to devote my time and my life. My highest spiritual purpose is to live from my divine nature. My divine gifts of life, love, and wisdom express uniquely through my passions, fulfilling me while demonstrating the truth of my being. I listen to the still small voice of spirit within to discern the best way to fulfill my purpose. I heed its call to learn, discover, and grow. It is never too early or too late to embark upon the journey of a lifetime. I am ready, willing, and more than able. The scripture is John 18:37, and it reads, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're off on another spiritual journey here this week. The title is, God's Promise is Always Greater Than the Challenge. And of course, that thought came to me to use it as a title without really knowing any of the things I was going to say about that. But we are going to explore this, and it's going to be, you know, a different kind of a message, a little bit, not different, but it is going to be a challenging message in terms of things we need to do in order to tap into God's promise. And, you know, and there are lots of scripture in the Bible referring to God's promises. So the purpose of this lesson is to understand what these promises mean in our personal everyday life. And that's really every Sunday service is designed around that. You know, and, you know, how do we access those in our time of need? You know, that's the important thing. Yes, we're told that God's promises are always there for us, but how do we access them in our time of need? So to begin, let's open this lesson with the promise that is written in Isaiah 54:10. And it says, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion for you." Okay. Now, as I shared, scripture is filled with God's promises. Our job is to figure out what is ours to do to become conscious recipients of God's promises. So this promise in Isaiah 54:10 expresses there is nothing that can happen in our lives that the divine cannot transform into a state of peace, love, healing, prosperity, or whatever it is we need in our lives at the time. So again, I say, it is our job to learn how to let God's promises for us be greater than any challenge that we may be experiencing. So, every week, and I know I must have said this before, I always strive to develop a Sunday lesson with information that's beyond what I already know and understand. But quite often, I will work with spiritual ideas that I think I already know, while at the same time realizing that I do not really know all there is to know about what I think I know, okay, if that makes any sense. So, for example, this concept of God's promises to us, needs some digging to truly understand what that means to us as we work through the challenges in our everyday lives. Because for each of us, the challenges in our lives create personally specific emotional reactions, okay? And that means even things that are happening on a national or global scale, our reactions to those are very personal, okay? They're personally specific emotional reactions. And there's a character in a Netflix movie that Pam and I were watching called Wedding Season. The character expressed, everyone is afraid of something. And when I heard him say that, I had to stop and write that down. Everyone is afraid of something. And that's a great discussion for the Zoom fellowship. We could be discussing, what am I afraid of? And what is the spiritual path that will bring me to a state of inner peace, regardless of whether or not the thing I fear is resolved? Okay, that's what we're trying to get to. So as we know, to understand the topic of the week, I turn to Scripture. But I strive to expand the meaning of Scripture with other resources. So in an effort to understand God's promises, there's a continuous conscious or unconscious need to try to understand this divine idea called God, okay? Because we say the word a lot, but I think that word God conjures up brings up all kinds of different thought processes in the minds of each one of us. Because, if we do not really understand and have faith in the source, God, it could be difficult in times of need, especially extreme need, to have faith in God's promises, hopefully, God's promises. So that's the whole process. How do I get to a place where in extreme need, I really believe in this source and the promises it has made to me, okay? So we think about the fact that Unity Metaphysics is comprised of five parts: cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. We can at least do some work to understand the parts as we strive to understand the whole, which is God, okay? So, and we're not going to go through, defining each one of these in this lesson. They're mainly a reference point, especially for newcomers to Unity principles. If somebody says, well, what is Unity Metaphysics? All right, cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. Those sciences make up what we study and go through to try to understand this concept called God, okay? But the essence of this lesson, we're touching on them, again, without actually mentioning them. So, and I just want to say it again. So I mentioned those five parts of Unity Metaphysics, and they're always embedded in the lessons, even though we're not actually mentioning them, specifically by name. So what we're striving for is to completely break away from perceiving God as an entity with eyeballs, all right? The eyes of God are watching. I think that was a movie. You remember the eyes of God are watching? I think that's a movie. But, we want to break away from this idea that this entity called God that has eyeballs, which is the basis for the metaphysical approach. Now, as it is written in John 4:24, to emphasize this point, Jesus said God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. you know, spirit being the moving force in the universe, which is the breath of life in all creation. Spirit is a creative intelligence in all things. So basically, if spirit is the intelligence, creative intelligence in all things, that makes us the eyeballs of God, meaning we are the individual expression of God that brings creative intelligence into the experiences of our lives, okay? So I am God expressing, you are God expressing. And it is by understanding this quantum reality about ourselves that we are able to see God's promises manifest in our lives. And if you're wondering what I mean by quantum reality, quantum means that I am a piece of, I am a, not even a piece of, the allness of God is within me as a unit of God, okay? So again, let me just say that, right? I am God expressing, you are God expressing, and it is by understanding this quantum reality about ourselves that we are able to see God's promises manifest in our lives. Now, how many of us are listening, you know, are listening to us right now and thinking to yourself, well, I already know that. You always talk about we're the each of the allness, the individual expression of God. But the question is, do I really know that? That's what I'm trying to get at. This idea called God, and we're told that we're the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of God. But do we really get it? Okay? I mean, know it at a level where no matter what is happening in our lives, it will not deter us from believing in the healing, correcting power of God, God's promises in our lives, okay? Because to really know this idea that I am God expressing is to know that I am God's promise expressing. Let me say that again. To really understand this idea called God, and then I am the eachness of the allness, I am the quantum reality of God, okay? That is, it means that you know that that's knowing that I am God's promise expressing. I'm not waiting for God's promise to express. I am already all the promises of God expressing. Okay? That's why I said this might be a little bit deeper than normal, but again, it's something we can discuss in the Zoom fellowship. Okay? Now, however, I admit that is a level of consciousness that must be reached. Okay? We have to reach the level of consciousness where I really know that I am God expressing. Okay? And there are steps to reaching the level of consciousness where we can truly believe in, know, and live from God's promises. Now, these steps are found in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Okay, so here they are. So it says, God has given us great and precious promises that give us hope, joy, peace, and wisdom, and strength for whatever we are facing in our day. For this reason, you need to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Okay? Now, you will see those again, and that's why they're up on the slide for those who want to go back and take more notes. But I'm going to go over those again. Okay, I'm going to mention them again. So the key to living with unwavering faith that God's promises will and are manifesting in our lives is that there is work to be done on our part. Okay, it's not enough to just hear it. We have to do the work that's necessary for it to become a part of us. And the scripture we just read clearly outlines what that work is. Yes, I do realize that there can be situations and circumstances in our lives that can be so challenging, they may weaken and or disrupt our spiritual work. In other words, you're working on these things, something comes up, and it just kind of blows your whole, you know, the whole thing of you doing this spiritual work. But we always want to remain mindful of the truth that even if our work is disrupted, our spiritual work is disrupted, God's promises are not. God's promises are unaffected by the disruption in our spiritual work, okay? So this spiritual notion called God just waits for us to get back on track. And as it's explained in 2 Peter 1:10, says, for if you possess these qualities, this is important, in increasing measure, you know, they keep you, these qualities we just went over, they keep increasing in you because you're working with them. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them will become nearsighted and blind. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Okay? So the qualities being referred to, again, are the ones in the previous slide that we went over, okay, in 2 Peter. Now, these are the qualities which must keep increasing within ourselves to keep from stumbling. And as the previous scripture commanded, said, make every effort to add these divine qualities to yourself. And where the scripture said, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, think of the concept of our Lord Jesus Christ as being an abstract construct in the consciousness of humankind. Let me say it again. Think of this idea of our Lord Jesus Christ as being a concept, think of it as being an abstract construct in the consciousness of humankind that helps guides us towards understanding how God's promises work in our lives. Now, the Revealing Word explains that Jesus' prayers were always answered because he constantly remained in perfect harmony with God. God being the underlying, unchangeable truth in which we live and breathe and have our being, meaning God's promises don't just come to us. Rather, the truth is we're living within God's promises, and they're living within us, okay? So in other words, that truth of the promises lives within us, and we live within it. So this is what is so challenging to understand. It was easier to think about, again, these two eyeballs watching us, right, to see when and how we need help. You say, God, I need help. Aren't you watching to not see that I need help? Why don't you help me, okay? It's much easier to think that way. It's much more challenging to embrace the truth that the creation is already complete, waiting for us to become conscious enough to realize we're living within it. All right? And as we read in the scripture, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? But whoever does not have them will become nearsighted and blind. Now, this reference to being nearsighted and blind comes from not doing the work to maintain our divine connection. Okay, and this is not a condemnation. Okay, remember what we say: I'm not doing the work. It's not for condemnation or self-condemnation because something is happening. You find you're not doing the work. Because the fact is, life is always right up in our face, which causes us to unconsciously take our eyes off God, okay? Because it's right there, whatever you're dealing with, it's right there in your face, right there in my face. And it takes us, sometimes it just takes us our eyes off of God. So the way to turn that around is to do the work to put God right in front of your face, right in front of your mental, emotional eyes, okay? And as the scripture in 2 Peter 1:3 explains, we do that, I'm going to repeat what I said before, by constantly making every effort, okay, to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness mutual affection, and to your mutual affection love, okay? And again, as one of the characters said and to another in that Netflix movie, Wedding Season, in every situation, listen to your heart and let your love become greater than your fear. So we'll need to explore the question again. Why is Bible scripture so important to our life experience? Okay, and again, that's really kind of the essence of of who we are as metaphysical Christians, understanding that deeper meaning in script in Bible. Well, this idea called God has its place in the consciousness of humankind, okay? And yes, there are an infinite number of definitions and names for God, and yes, it is possible that none of them are true, and it is possible that all of them are true as seed ideas planted in the soil of human consciousness and are being expressed in accordance with what each individual or group of individuals is focused on as being the truth. So they could all be the truth, or none of them could be the truth in a conscious form, but at a deeper level, they may be a seed to keep us searching for what is the truth, what is this idea called God. So for us in Unity, the Bible shows us the evolution of humankind's, what humankind believes about the character of God. Eric Butterworth, which you heard me say, you know, a zillion times, you know, he says that the Bible demonstrates the evolution of humankind's understanding of God. But still, what is the truth about God? How do you come to know the truth about God in a way that will help us embrace and live in the faith that naturally and openly receives God's promise? How can I get into this state of being where I just openly accept this idea of God's promises? Well, in Jeremiah 33:3, we are told, call to me, because we're asking questions, right? And in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer these questions for you. And here's the interesting part. And tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. All right. I thought that was a powerful verse. So the calling is not really a calling in the sense that we normally think of it. This calling happens when we practice entering into the silence. Okay. So when we practice being still, that's when we are actually making a calling. So it's not a calling out. We might a lot of times say, oh God, please help me. All right. That is a calling. Okay. But we're talking about a deeper calling where we let go of this fear where it just calls us to say, God, please help me. And we get into the silence. We leave that stuff outside. And as the scripture said, we shut the door and we go within and we pray to our Father in secret. Okay. So as the scripture just explained, what you receive in the practice of being still will be unsearchable things. You can't find these answers in Google on the internet, okay, that you receive in that deep inner spiritual knowing. So you'll receive divine ideas, divine guidance that you could not have figured out on your own. Ideas and guidance specifically designed for you in accordance with the nature of your consciousness and what it is you're dealing with. So remember last week's lesson, thoughts in solitude. This is a practice of putting God first in your life, all right? Thoughts in solitude, practice of putting God first in your life. So as I shared before, the affirmation I write in my gratitude journal every night is, I am grateful God is first in my life, revealing to me the orderly process of my life, okay? And this whole thing that I'm going through with being retired from the college and whatnot, boy, affirmation means a lot to me, okay? And that is the answer we all are seeking. What is the orderly process of my life? What we want to be revealed is the wisdom we need to make divinely guided decisions in our lives, basically because there is no fear in divinely guided decisions, okay? We may be fearful about doing some of the things that we receive from Spirit, but there's really no fear in those divinely guided decisions, okay? So as we read in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, you will get understanding, okay? Now, we know that wisdom is one of the 12 powers, and we know those powers exist in our unconscious realm of mind, as Charles Fillmore says. So, you know, in terms of getting wisdom, you get it by entering into the silence and allowing wisdom to quicken within you. And again, there's so many things that happen in our lives or that happen in life itself that we just do not understand the reason why. Okay? And there's a lot going on right now in the country and in the world that we just don't understand the reason why. But we each have within us a personal guide, a way shower, an eachness of the allness that is ready to instruct us when we are ready to listen. However, God, what we call a divine intelligence, in which we live and breathe and have our being, is not going to force a thought, idea, or notion upon us. It is we who must put God first by becoming still and listening. Life jumps up in our face. We become still. Go into our inner room, close the door, leave that stuff that was in our face outside, and just go in, put God first, become still, and listen. Go into your inner self. Close out the outer noise and pray to your inner God. And when your inner God sees your effort to be still and listen, you will receive what you need, okay? And that's what we're looking for. So it's written in Psalm, again, here's some instruction, Psalm 32, 8, okay? It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you, okay? So this idea of, with my loving eye upon you, God's eye is a metaphor for spiritual vision. Our spiritual vision. It symbolizes when we turn from intellectual seeing to intuitive seeing with our inner eye, seeking the truth about what we are experiencing or what our next step should be. And quite often our next step is unknown to us, okay? So as is explained in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we're learning how to fix our spiritual eye on what is unseen by our physical eye, okay? We're learning how to fix our spiritual eye on what is unseen. And again, I want to emphasize, it is unseen by our physical eye, our physical mind, okay? And we want that which is made visible to us through prayer and meditation. So that which is unseen to our intellect is seen by our spiritual eye, okay, our inner seeing. Okay, and it's made visible to us through prayer and meditation. So as this scripture explains, what is seen is temporary, while what is unseen is eternal and lasting. Okay, and it's that seeing, that spiritual seeing that we're seeking. As Ralph Waldo Emerson expressed, many eyes go through the meadows, but few see the flowers in it. Okay. So the patience of entering into the stillness makes strong the vision of our spiritual eye so that we can see the promises God has for us. And I admit, it is not always easy, especially when life is, constantly being right up in our face again. It is not easy, but it is possible with practice, dedication, and that's the key. So I'm going to end this lesson with a quote that I actually paraphrase from Joseph Campbell, okay? And it says, the goal of life is to make your heartbeat match the beat of the universe and to make your nature match that of God nature as demonstrated in the life of Jesus. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's get still and find that comfortable space. Let's get our minds and bodies to become relaxed and just take a slow and easy breath in and an easy breath out. Once again, take an easy breath in and an easy breath out. Let go and allow any tension you may be experiencing to dissolve away. Allow any worries to be released. In this moment, it is just you and the Holy Spirit, just you and the Divine, So relax now and allow my words to become your very own. God is the love that has no end and the power that has no bounds. When I remember that God's presence lives in me, and as I let go of worry and fear, self-doubt disappears, and I trust the power of God within me. I am one with God. I feel God's unconditional love enfolding me. I feel the power of God guiding me and leading me to my good. I boldly step forward into the field of divine potential. I am free. I am unlimited. There are no chains that bind me. Nothing stands in my way. I act with strength, kindness, and compassion to bless the world and all my loved ones. Gratefulness fills my heart. I affirm harmony, peace, kindness, and acceptance for all people everywhere. As I discover the power within, I unleash my divine potential. I am at peace, and all is well. Pausing from the sound of my voice, use this time now to enter into that secret place of the Most High and prepare to pray and receive answers to your prayers. We thank you, Great Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you have answered them as you always do. And as you now become aware of your surroundings, take in another deep breath and release. As you continue your day, know that you are filled with God's love and grace. And we do give thanks for this truth in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Hen, for that wonderful meditation. So this is the time we allow the prosperity that flows into our lives from spirit to flow into our spiritual home. And we give thanks for all of the offerings and donations you've been sending to support Unity Center of Light. I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. Now, honey, you have some light notes?
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, August the 28th. Our next in-person hybrid service will be Sunday, September the 4th. That's next Sunday. Please remember to register for the service on the church website. You do not have to submit proof of vaccination again. Unity by the Bay is offering a seven-week class on the book by the Reverend Linda Martelowitzet called How to Pray Without Talking to God. The first five sessions will be a regular prayer class available for credit, and the last sessions will be a deep dive into the prayer designed by prayer chaplain training. Please register for this series if you are interested by The class starts on Wednesday, September the 7th, and it goes through October the 19th, and they go from 7 to 9 p.m. World Day of Prayer is Thursday, September the 8th. Please check your e-newsletter beginning on Monday the 29th for details and registration. On Sunday, September 11th, the Reverend Michelle Sinegal will be our guest speaker. Okay.
All right, so what time is it?
It's time to bless the path we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope to see you in Zoom fellowship right after this. Otherwise, have a very wonderful week, and we will see you soon.
See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.